Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stormkeep. My name is Paul.
Raven Lad James over here.
And Night Pawncaster Jack.
Today we are doing another episode of Lords of the Storm. This is our list building series where we highlight lists that we've been working on, lists that we are seeing in the community, and lists that we are specifically asking our Discord members to submit. The name Lords of the Storm comes from the chamber command. Every storm host has a number of different chambers, and the leaders at the top of each chamber are called the Lords of the Storm. So this will typically involve your Lord Celestins, your Lord Imperitans, your Lord Castellans, things like that. It actually used to be a battalion for the longest time in Age of Sigmar 1st and 2nd edition. It was a battalion that pretty much never saw play, but it was there, and I think it's a pretty fitting name for what we're doing here, kind of sitting around talking about strategy and examining different things that we're doing. In this episode, we wanted to focus on Stormkeep's allegiance because, especially if you've been listening to our channel, you'll know we don't really talk about Stormkeeps often, which is very ironic because we are the Stormkeep and we don't talk about Stormkeeps. It just turns out that Scions of the Storm is just more useful in general. I don't think that's a disputed claim. So we wanted to take a look at Stormkeeps before the General's Handbook comes out. And unfortunately, right after we started putting all the lists together for this, they announced the General's Handbook, and it's been completely revealed online. So we are kind of in that weird place where we wrote these lists without the General's Handbook having any information about it, and now we know everything about it. So that's the context we're filming this video in. So we wanted to look at the strengths and limitations of the Stormkeep Allegiance. In particular, things like Longstrike Raptors are very risky because without Scions of the Storm to protect them, other armies can just shoot them off the board. If you guys have played any games against Idoneth Deepkin, if you don't have Scions of the Storm to protect your Longstrikes, they just die first turn every time. It's very, very risky to use them. You also just can't use Annihilators if you don't have Scions of the Storm. Trying to, you know, push them 4 inches up the board each turn is awful. I really don't recommend it. You can also get extra value from Redeemer units. You can score additional points on objectives. You can deal mortal wounds when enemies charge you. So there's a lot of cool stuff that Stormkeeps can do, both positive and negative. They have pros and cons. And we wanted to take a look at that and see how that would translate to the announced infantry-focused edition of the General's Handbook. We had over 20 lists submitted and ranked by our community, and we're going to showcase the top three lists at the end of this video after we talk about some other ones.
For playing Stormkeep armies, you gain access to a couple of special rules that are supposed to make up for the loss of using Scions of the Storm. The first one is Mortal Auxiliaries, which gives you access to use City of Sigmar units as coalition units in your army. And unlike a lot of other armies, it does not prevent you from taking them as allies as well, which means that you can double them up if there are Cities of Sigmar units that you really want to include in your army that would normally be prevented from being in it because of the 1-in-4 restriction for coalition. Again, the coalition rules apply, so your general cannot be a coalition unit, which means you cannot use one of the cheap Cities of Sigmar's heroes as your general. In addition, there's a question that comes up when building your list, what happens if you don't bring any leaders from the Stormcast faction? Because the core rules require you to pick a model to be a general. And then normally in the general's handbook that supplement list building rules, there may be additional requirements. So in the general's handbook for 2021, which these lists were built under, that requires that to be a leader. And you are not, I guess the situation becomes you don't do this because I'm not certain that your list would be valid if you didn't have a Stormcast leader at that point.
Yeah, it's weird. The rules say you have to pick a model, but they don't say you need a general. It just says you have to pick a model to be the general. So like, what if you try to pick one and there's no valid models? So it's like this weird gray area in the rules. So I just thought it was a fun little conversation we can toss in here.
Yeah. In addition, the Mortal Auxiliaries grant all Cities of Sigmar units, in addition to Stormcast, the Stormkeep keyword. And Stormkeep units gain +1 bravery while they are wholly within 12 inches of any Stormkeep Redeemer units. Again, the Stormkeep Allegiance is really focused on those battle line, infantry, melee units, the Redeemer units. Then you also gain Shield of Civilization, which is probably the best rule for running Stormkeep. What it says is, in battle rounds 1 and 2, Redeemer units count as 3 models on objectives that are in your territory. And this applies to both those that are partially and wholly within. From round 3 on, this applies to all objectives on the table, which means your units of Redeemers can now count as 15 for 5, 30 for 10. If an enemy unit charges a Redeemer unit, or I should say ends within 1 inch of a Redeemer unit when it charges, you roll a die, and on a 3+, it does D3 mortals. This is specifically keyed to completing a charge, and not just charges that are done in the charge phase. So it's possible for armies that have like hero phase charges or counter charges to suffer these mortal wounds if they charge your Redeemer units. And it can be activated multiple times if there are enough Redeemer units in range, because each Redeemer unit gets to do this if this condition is met. Finally, there is a command trait specifically tied to the Stormkeep Allegiance, which allows you to reroll the number of mortal wounds caused by Shield of Civilization if those Redeemer units are wholly within 12 inches of the general. But as we all know, the Stormkeep or the Stormcast command traits generally aren't all that great.
Yeah, and this one's honestly the worst of all of them. It's not Allegiance, and it's
absolutely
it's just rough. So looking at these abilities, it seems to focus on Redeemers, and it seems to focus on bringing in like allied units. So like, from a flavor perspective, this is awesome, right? You've got Stormcast and Cities of Sigmar working together. You get the best of both worlds. You have the Stormcast up front bearing the brunt of the combat, and then you've got your specialist city units who are doing stuff. And that sounds cool, but in practice, it hasn't really turned out to be very powerful on the table. And the big reason for that is just how Stormcast want to play is dropping slow units into combat, dropping shooting units where they need to be, protecting our key units from other enemy shooters. And Scions of the Storm works so well for that. And you kind of don't need the bonus models on objectives. You know, it's not something that we've ever really leaned onto.
Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room or keep that out?
Go for it.
That Shield of Civilization ability may or may not become relevant in the coming weeks, as most people know.
Yeah, with the new General's Handbook coming out, that gets a little bit better, because the problem with this, though, is like you still have to move your Redeemers forward on the table. Not being able, like having to translocate them or use some shenanigans with other abilities, it's a heavy investment, and Scions just does it easier. So it'll certainly be interesting.
Yeah, this was the Shield of Civilization rule was very interesting in the 2021 General's Handbook, because this was the only sub-faction build strategy in the game that did this. But now, as we've seen with the General's Handbook Season 1 for 2022, everybody gets this.
Yeah.
There's also a point that currently bravery is not really an issue, but there's a common misconception that the +1 bravery for units within 12 inches of the Redeemers only applies to Cities of Sigmar, and that's not correct. Everybody gets it.
Yeah, how useful it is another question.
Yeah, no, totally. It's not that great. I think that if we get a Dawnbringer's Crusade book with new Cities of Sigmar units with better war scrolls, Stormkeep might become a really interesting build option.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this video, is to see like, okay, well, this is where the Stormkeep is now. What can they change to make it better? Because I don't want to say it's bad. Like, it's just that Scions is more tactically flexible. That said, though, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Stormkeep that you can't do with Scions. So let's take a look at that real quick. The first one is, like you talked about, Jack, you can bring both allies and coalition units, which other armies can't do. It's like they want to play that faction, and if they want to bring units outside that faction, they're stuck with the ally limit. Whereas with this, you can bring allies and coalition Cities of Sigmar. So you could do something like, you know, bring a Cities of Sigmar steam tank, and then bring a Lord Ordinator to give it +1 hit, and then you can also bring allied gun haulers to give them +1 hit. So cool stuff. How useful that is, I don't know, but you could do it. Other armies can't. Being Coalition, you can also give universal enhancements to Cities of Sigmar units. For example, you could teach a Rune Lord how to chant Curse. You could give a Battle Mage Levitate for some reason if you wanted to. You could give an Arcane Tome to the Anointed on Phoenix, and that's actually a really good use of it because then he becomes his own wizard who can cast a spell to buff himself. And you could give him, you know, Flaming Weapon, and then all of a sudden he's doing real damage like a monster would do. So that's pretty cool. Another thing Stormkeeps can do that Scions can't is use Cities of Sigmar as both allies and coalition. And this is a gray area in the rules. Like, this is what the rules say, so that's how we're going to play it until they FAQ it otherwise. But this allows you to run, you know, 1 in 4 units as allies and then 1 in 4 units as coalition, which potentially you could have 1 in 2 units in your army. Every other unit could be a Cities of Sigmar unit. Another cool thing is, getting more specific, you could use a Cities of Sigmar unit and a Kronspine in the same list. Now, the Kronspine, we did a whole video about this. If you have a Kronspine, you can't use any other allies. But coalition units aren't allies. So you can do stuff in a Cities in a Stormkeep list, like bring a Battle Mage, cast Wild Form on a unit to give it +2 run and +2 charge, use Steadfast March to allow that unit to run and charge, and then give it a Kronspine to allow that unit to reroll run and charge. And that's like, that's a nitro boost. That's so much more mobility than what Stormcasts normally have. It's crazy.
I thought that Steadfast March required you to be a Stormcast keyword unit.
Sure, yeah. You just use it on a Stormcast unit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But so that you can do Battle Mage and then use Steadfast March on, say, like a unit of Fulminators, who can then benefit from the Kronspine's reroll and charge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any unit can just go super fast. Like 10 Protectors, this would be great on them. Gotcha. Fulminators would be great. Dracolines would be great. Like, you can just make a unit fly across the table. Another cool thing you can do here is the Sorceress actually has an ability where she can pick any Darkling Coven's model within 3 inches, and that model is slain. And she can pick herself because she is a Darkling Coven's model. So the Sorceress can Sudoku, and then the Kronspine goes wild immediately if it's bonded to her. And that's pretty cool because then the Kronspine can run and charge, which means you can use a Battle Mage to cast Wild Form on the Kronspine to make it go even faster. So if you just want the most aggressive possible Kronspine, that's how you do it, which is really fun. You can also have a block of 15 Vindictors or 15 Vanquishers or 15 Liberators. You can have them count as 45 models, which can outnumber so many things in this game. If people aren't going to be taking that new Conqueror's Battalion, if they're focusing more on Hunters and Battle Regiment, well, this allows you to still outnumber them while going for a Battle Regiment approach, which is pretty cool. This also allows you to outnumber Gargants. It allows you to outnumber Ghosts and well, maybe not 60 Zombies, but a lot of things in the game can be outnumbered on objectives. And if you get really funky with your positioning, you can actually have like layers of Redeemer units such that if an enemy charges you, you get multiple rolls on Shield of Civilization. And that's the dream, is that you get like 3 units and you get to roll 3d3 and they deal a whole bunch of mortals in the enemy. It's like you get to fight first almost. You do a couple wounds before they fight you. Still not very good, but you can do it. And let's go into the list. That's enough preamble. The first list here I called Nitro Boosted Fulminators, and Jack, you called it. You stick it on Fulminators, and that mobility is awesome. So this is a Hammers of Sigmar Stormkeep list focused on the Kronspine Incarnate of Gur. It is bonded to the Lord Arcanum on Griftcharger, and you'll notice in this list there is a unit of 4 Fulminators in the Hunters of the Heartland Battalion. So those Fulminators are going to go very fast. There is also a Lord Relictor in here with translocation in order to teleport a unit of Judicators forward. Those Judicators are going to do a ton of damage. Boltstorm crossbows are excellent damage output. The Battle Mage here is necessary for the Nitro Boost combo, and then it rounds itself out with a unit of Liberators. So this is a very compact list. You'll notice it's got 3 heroes, 3 units, and a Kronspine. There's not a lot of, you know, board control possible here, but what it's doing is it's going fast and it's going hard. For Holy Commands, obviously we take Thunderbolt Volley and Steadfast March. That's what makes this combo work. And we need a Warlord Battalion to get the extra Holy Command. Otherwise, this wouldn't work. So major combos, like we said, Fulminators with Wild Form, Kronspine, and Steadfast March, they're going to go very fast. They have a 10-inch move, and with a run, which is going to be a D6 +2, and you can reroll it. And then you charge, which is also going to be a 2d6 +2 rerollable. That is way more distance than anybody is comfortable facing with Fulminators. Normally, when people play against Fulminators, they're like, oh, 10-inch move, no problem. I'll just deploy, you know, 23 inches away, and now you can't charge me. No, that's not going to work this time. Like, these guys are going to clear the board. Another major combo here is you've got Translocation and Thunderbolt Volley on the Judicators. They're going to teleport forwards, unleash a ton of damage in the hero phase, clear out screens, and let your Fulminators use that speed to their advantage and push in on the enemy army. The Kronspine is going to move up with them, and I actually like the Lord Arcanum on Griffcharger here because he can teleport himself forwards to meet the Kronspine and issue all-out attack, which means all the units in range get that ability as well. And what I really like about this, I'm sure you guys have experienced this, charging with two or more units right now is really risky because like one of your units fights, and then your opponent just kills the other one. But when you're charging in with the Kronspine, it's not going to die that turn. It can't die. It takes at least, you know, two turns to kill a Kronspine. So you have an almost no-risk 2-plus charge here, which is very useful from a strategic standpoint. They're going to have to pour all their damage into your Fulminators, and at that point you can start doing defensive stuff like all of defense, Mystic Shield, and just tank the damage. So it's got big DACA, like Crossbow Adjudicators do a ton of damage. It's got big Sticka, because Fulminators and Crossbine do a ton of damage. It's very fast because of all these combo pieces stacked together. The Fulminators are in Hunters of the Heartland to avoid getting roared and stomped and all that nasty stuff. And it's a pretty straightforward list. And this is an example of something you can't do with Scions of the Storm. If you want to turbo boost your Fulminators and charge in along with something, you can't do that with Scions reliably. I mean, you could. You could drop them out of reserve and hope you roll a 9, but I like to be a little more reliable than that. And there's obvious downsides, right? This is not a battle regimen, and it doesn't have a lot of screening units, which means you're just going to take damage. Your opponent can go first and deal a lot of damage to you before you have a chance to position yourself properly. They could also force you to go first, and then that risks a double turn, so that's a serious consideration. You can't put any units in reserve to protect against enemy Alpha Strikes. That's okay, because there's not many lists out there. Like, you've got the speed to engage pretty far, and with your translocate on crossbows, you can shoot anywhere. So you can handle deploying far back. And that's a downside normally that Fulminators can't deal with, is that they have to deploy more forwards, and that exposes them to damage, which means then you need screens in front of them. So this kind of gets around that. So you don't necessarily need that many screens, but it's definitely a downside you have to consider. And I'd say the biggest downside here is that this list is 7 units. If you're playing on a map that has 6 objectives, that's really, really tough. It's just, you don't have any bodies to contest anything. So stuff you could do, like if you want to try this list and you want to tinker around with it, some different things we've looked at here. You could drop one of the 2 holy commands to take a battle regiment. I don't know which one I would drop personally, and I don't know how useful battle regiments are going to be compared to going for the extra value you get from the new battalions in the General's Handbook. You could also swap the Lord Arcanum for a sorceress in order to make the Kronspine go wild, which is pretty cool. That means you have to issue all-out attack to the Fulminators, but your Kronspine gets to run and charge, which is a big mobility boost, because that could be the difference of getting him into melee or not. So what do you guys think about this first list concept here?
I like it, considering that my biggest thing with Fulminators is their mobility, quite frankly. Recently, whenever I've played Fulminators, I've also been failing the charges, regardless of how well I set them up, so this is just a nice reassurance that they'll probably get in there.
Well, that's good to hear, because you've made every single charge with Fulminators against me, so I'm not...
Oh, dude, I've been flubbing 7-inch charges like it's nobody's business. 3-inch charges, even. And 3-inch!
Good. You deserve it. After the... Yeah. I saw the other end of that bell curve in my basement. You deserve it at this point.
I think that one of the cool things that this list can do, and I think you sort of touched on it, Paul, is that with that Battle Mage and the Lord Relictor, if you can't get your Fulminators all the way across the board with the run and charge, you can always translocate them after they've been buffed, because then that is a 7-inch charge because of the +2.
Yeah, that's something I didn't touch on. Thanks for bringing that up. This also helps Fulminators get out of combat. Sometimes what happens with Fulminators is their damage on the charge is tremendous, but they'll get stuck in a combat with, like, you know, one model piles in 3 inches, and then you're stuck and you can't retreat and charge. This, you know, if the positioning works out, it's not always going to happen, but if it works out, you can wild form them and then translocate them out of that combat and then get a 7-inch charge back in using a command point to reroll it. So that's nice tactical flexibility. The Battle Mage Relictor combo is very strong. It's one of the best reasons to play Stormkeep.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get that Battle Mage up the board, though, to follow the Fulminators.
You just run them.
Yeah, well, because you're using Steadfast March, you're not going to be able to auto-six the run for the Fulminators, which means the Battle Mage can auto-six his run and go whatever, 11 inches or whatever his is.
Yeah, if you also, you know, depending on the order you do it in, your Battle Mage can benefit from the Kron Spine's reroll as well. Yes, because his aura, it checks, like, when you move the order of operations matters here. So you can get extra mobility on the Battle Mage you can run in.
It's really situational, but yeah, you can definitely get that extra utility out of Relictor Battle Mage combo. I think it's really situational.
But... Oh, for sure. But it's an option to keep in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I like tactical flexibility.
Yep.
So this list concept, I'm really looking forward to trying this out in the new General's Handbook. Given the focus on infantry, you can have your Fulminators in the new battalion to do +1 damage, to do even more damage than they're currently doing, which is going to be great.
Well, yeah, because if you want, you know, if someone wants to run this list, all they have to do is just replace Hunters of the Heartlands with Bounty Hunters, and the list works.
Yep. It works pretty well. And it could even go Battle Regiment, because you the Kron Spine fits the Behemoth slot, and you could force your opponent to go first, or you could take an Alpha Strike if you felt it was good. Like against Idoneth, an Alpha Strike would be pretty useful. So this actually could go Battle Regiment. Like, Fulminators don't need more damage. they're doing plenty enough as it is. They don't necessarily need to go in the Hunter Battalion.
I'm going to say 4 damage, 3 damage Fulminators. Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's so greedy, though. I love it. I love greed in this game. Like, I love squeezing as much value as possible. Maybe
it's hilarious at times, but Jesus Christ.
Now, if you go Battle Regiment, like, let's say that's hypothetically, would you drop Volley or March?
Volley, I think. This list wants to do that. I feel like it wants to advance up the table.
But at the same time, it also wants to shoot screens out of the way in the hero phase. It's a tough call, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely explore this list a new season.
The second list we have, the Steeliest Souls. This is a Hallowed Knights list. It is in a battle regiment, making it a one drop. It consists of a knight encanter with Master of Magic and Celestial Blades, who is your general. We've taken an anointed on Frostheart Phoenix and given him the Arcane Tome with Flaming Weapon, which we discussed during the intro. Obviously, if you're taking Hallowed Knights, Gardas Steel Soul is an auto include in this list. And then it has 10 protectors, 5 liberators, 5 liberators, 15 Vindictors, and 2 Stormdrake Guard. The Holy Command is Unleash Thy Hatred to pair with the Protectors. If you're not familiar with the Unleash Thy Hatred Holy Command, it's issued and it gives Paladins +1 attack. And this works really well on Protectors because when you take Star Soul Maces, they don't use the normal attack sequence, but they do have 1 attack on their melee profile. And that means Unleash Thy Hatred doubles the 2+D3 mortal wounds.
Yeah, it's an explosive amount of mortal wounds. It's something like, I forget the exact numbers, I wish I had them for me, but it's like upwards of 12 mortal wounds in that one phase.
Yeah, well, the average for D3 is 2, 8 attacks is 16, and you're probably going to miss 1.5 statistically. So yeah, it's going to be like 12 or 13 mortal wounds just from the Star Soul Maces.
And then there's 6 other guys with glaives smacking you.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I was just saying, I love Protectors, man. They're my favorite model in the range.
Yeah, and we've been discussing internally that Protectors are one of the most efficient units in our book, regardless of how you use them. They are fantastic. The major combos for this list, it has incredible durability. The Vindictors are on a 3+ save base. The Protectors are on basically a 2+ save with 3++1. Gardas is giving him that 12-inch aura 5-up ward. And when you pair it with the Anointed on Frostheart Phoenix, it's granting that minus one wound aura to everything within its range. The Vindictors, as a block of 15, do count as 45 models on objectives. It is very, very, very slow, which means that you're going to have to think about that when you are setting this army up and using it on the table, right? This is definitely an army that wants to create a moving castle with the Vindictors, the Protectors, within the aura of Gardas, within the aura of the Frostheart Phoenix. And because it is a battle regiment, it can force other opponents to go first, helping to close the distance between opposing armies.
Yeah. I should clarify here. It's listed as a pro, and that looks weird, right? Most of the army's slow. Why is that a pro? Well,
go ahead. Well, no, I was going to say that it's listed as a pro because the army wants to be blobbed up. It wants to be in this moving formation to stay within the range of those auras. And with the units being your hammers being slow, that means that they're not going to end up running off and being outside of these auras.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's saying there is like the army to get works together as a core. You're not going to be like you have the tools to still launch some units forward. Like the Phoenix is fast. The Dragons are fast. And so you have these tools available, but you're not in a situation where, for example, you're mismatching your threat ranges. So what's a good example of this? Fulminators and crossbows typically don't work well together because the crossbows are 18-inch range and the fulminators are less threat range than that. They're around that area, and you want something that can get ahead of the crossbows, right? So this is a coherent, like it's a consistent speed profile across the army.
Yeah. The downsides or the cons to this particular build, it has no shooting hammers, which means that it will potentially struggle in those matchups against heavy shooting, such as Lumineth with 30 Sentinels, Ideneth Deepkin, those sorts of lists. It has nothing to contest the enemy shooting units, with the exception of those two Stormdrake Guards. And I think this is entirely dependent if the Stormdrake Guards retain their Draconic Onslaught ability when the Battle Scroll comes out.
Yeah, there's been some rumors that they might be removing that. Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully this video goes live before the Battle Scroll, so I don't look like an idiot as I'm saying this.
Yeah, for sure. None of the units are in Hunters of the Heartlands, so that means that when you engage enemy monsters, your units can be roared, preventing them from benefiting from all-out attack, all-out defense, and unleash thy hatred, because that is issued in the combat phase. Now, while we talked about it as a pro, the downside is that your Vindictors and Protectors are very slow units. And that means that you're going to struggle to respond to changes on the battlefield during the game if that happens outside of their 4-inch, 5-inch move. And that can be particularly devastating when you are dealing with battle plans that are going to require you to be able to rapidly maneuver. Some of the changes that we've looked for, you could swap two Stormdrake Guard for two Stormstrike Chariots. Two Stormstrike Chariots are roughly equivalent points to two Stormdrake Guard. They are slightly tankier because they do have the same save, but a higher wound characteristic. But more importantly, they're just as fast, and using two Stormstrike Chariots gives you two units that can rapidly maneuver and respond to where your enemy goes. In addition, also, depending on how you roll with your charges, the Stormstrike Chariots can actually out-damage the Stormdrake Guard. And so if you find that your army is struggling to reach out and touch stuff, then this might be a good swap. Finally, you could swap the Knight and Cantor for a Battle Mage and take a Steadfast March.
Yeah, if you want more mobility on the Protectors, you can definitely go a Steadfast March instead of Unleash Thy Hatred. You may not need more damage necessarily, and in the New General's Handbook, you can actually put the Protectors in the Hunter's Battalion. That way they get +1 damage, in which case you wouldn't be taking Star Soul Maces, and Steadfast March would make more sense there than Unleash Thy Hatred. On the note of Stormstrike Chariots, it's actually funny when you crunch the numbers, on an average roll for their charges, an average roll for their attacks and everything, two Stormstrike Chariots do more damage than two Stormstrike Guard, if you include the charge mortal wounds, which you should, right? They're fast units, they can pretty reliably charge. They're tankier because they're 12 wounds each instead of 9, and they're also minus 1 to be hit the turn they charge. So, yeah, just fun facts. Stormstrike Chariots do more damage and take more damage to kill.
Does that include the breath weapon from the dragons?
It does.
I'm looking
at on average, here. Right? Because sometimes those breath weapons go crazy high.
Yeah.
I destroyed a Soul Grinder in one set of breath attacks.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I wish they'd change that. I wish the Drake Breath capped out at D3 instead of sometimes doing 12 mortal wounds. It's so silly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in Battle Scroll.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Karazai. So I've been saying it for a bit now, but I'm really liking Astral Templars with the direction the meta's going. Primary reason is, of course, that we're losing Hunters of the Heartland. Now, we mentioned this back in our original tier list videos, but Astral Templar's sort of ranking will depend on how the meta shifts, so to speak. Like, it was okay in the previous meta, but the Hunters of the Heartland felt things. Anyway, we'll talk about it some more in a minute, but in this list, we've got a Battle Regiment. We've got Karazai, Battle Mage, Lord Castellan, with an Arcane Tome and Celestial Blades. Looks like he's also been bonded to the Kronspine. Squad of Praetors, two Liberators filling up battle line slots, and Stormdrake Guard filling in that last battle line slot. So, from the looks of it, I think this plays similarly to the first list, does not, Paul?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just except instead of using Fulminators, you use Karazai. That's really the only difference.
And he's a big beat stick, so.
Yep.
So Major Combos we got in here. Obviously, Karazai is fast. Couple that with Wild Form, Steadfast March, and the Kronspine reroll will charge. He's likely to get in wherever you need him to go. Yeah, ideally you want to charge the Kronspine in with the Stormdrakes and Karazai to get all-out attack on all three of them. Some additional pros to this list. The Praetors, obviously, are going to bodyguard Karazai from now, protecting him from any possible Alpha Strikes. Castellan will boost the durability of Karazai with his Lantern. Astral Templars, like I was saying there, no monstrous rampage is ever against you. So you can always do an all defense with Karazai. The Lord Castellan has a plus one to casting, Mystic Shield. Where's that coming from, just out of curiosity?
The bonded unit to a Kronspine gets plus one to cast.
Okay, so yeah, more utility with Mystic Shield to save stack on Karazai there. And then we have three monsters to utilize for battle tactics reasons, so you can get your pretty easy ferocious advance and things along those lines. Cons here, we're focusing heavily on melee here, no shooting, so we can't really delete any screens. That being said, we are using flying units. Nothing to contest enemy shooting except for the Stormdrakes, and Castellan is likely to get left behind. Possible changes what we can look at. We can change Astral Templars for Celestial Vindicators, get those exploding hits with Karazai even. If we wanted to switch this out for Hollow Knights, then we can switch the Castellan for Gardas on a 5-up ward. However, bit of a note there is that without Scions, we can't really get Gardas to keep up with him. Maybe get a Daze or a Kynum in there?
He can't be made a wizard, so he can never cast it. You could translocate. I suppose you could cut the Battle Mage for a Lord Relictor. I'd have to double-check the points on that. But it's like Gardas, I don't know. I just wanted to play Astral Templars. What's the point?
Yeah. We'd have to check the Castellan, because this list only has 5 points left.
Yeah. You chuck out the Castellan, and then you'd have no way. You guess you can cut the Praetors, but then you're not a Battle Regiment. So you start picking it apart, it starts turning into a St. Karazai list, and I didn't want to just do that again.
And that's the thing I'm finding, is that a lot of, like, going into the new meta, and the reason why I like Astral Templars is that it's kind of interchangeable with Hollow Knights. It's just, what do you value more? Do you value that 5-up ward, or do you value not getting roared or not getting Maw Crusher stomped at the end of the day?
Yeah, both are good. The ward isn't universal. It's not across the whole table. Like, it's in one specific area, and it seems like with the new battle plans, we're going to be spread out more, going to be doing things across the battlefield. So it's going to come from playtesting. It's too hard to predict how useful it will be. This is not a Stormkeep list. This is just something that we wanted to talk about, and this was the opportunity to do it before the General's Handbook came out. So this is a list we were working on in the Stormkeep Discord called Hammer and Bolter. Shout out to the Discord server for it, because you guys helped us put this together. And in particular, Kibetsin, this, we'll call this your baby, because you're the one who made the final connection here. So let me run down why this list is important. If you guys have been listening to our podcast, you've seen Murgonk using this list that we crafted called the Annihilana Grande, which is long strikes and grand hammers. And that list really likes sitting back and shooting key targets and then dropping grand hammers and blowing stuff off the table. It's a very particular playstyle, and we've always been looking for ways to make grand hammers work outside of Knights Excelsior and also without long strike support, because the problem with that list is it's so fragile. As soon as you take any damage, like, it's over, right? It's so hard to recover from that. Your grand hammers are only 9 wounds. Your long strikes are only 12 wounds in that squad. So we've been looking for ways to combine grand hammers and bolt storm crossbows, which do tremendous damage. And the combo seems to work well, because if you've got a Lord Relictor, you can translocate the crossbows forward. You can drop some liberator screens in front of it to prevent enemy melee attacks. And then you drop your grand hammers where you need them, and you just blow everything up. The idea there is, you're playing more aggressively, more forwards, and if your opponent is killing your grand hammers, they're not killing your crossbow adjudicators. Like, they have to pick one or the other. They can't be dealing with both. And whichever one they pick, it's the wrong choice, because you're still going to do enough damage to kill them with the other one. And what always stuck out there was that the crossbow adjudicators were just dying too quickly. And the final piece of the puzzle was making this list Hallowed Knight so that we could take Guard of Steel Soul. And I think originally we were thinking you needed a Knight in Cantor in order to counter spells, but it seems like that's just fallen off the wayside. So bringing in Guard of Steel Soul gives your block of 15 adjudicators, it gives them effectively 45 wounds, which is the amount you need in order to survive against other enemy shooting armies. So that's, I think, the key that puts it all together. So how this list plays is it throws the adjudicators forward, drops screens in front of it, the chariot comes up on the flank to protect from charging units over there, your heroes drop into play, your grand hammers drop into play, and you just do the best damage in the game. You just kill everything. So this is a list archetype we're going to be experimenting with more in the new season. I think it could do very well as a battle regiment. I think we might have to cut some units to make that work. Yeah, overall, I really like it. There's a new channel in the Discord, so if you guys want to talk about this one, feel free to drop in and check out Hammer and Bolter down there.
This might very well be the style list I play a lot of in the new meta, because I had a similar looking list that I was sort of not toying around with, but looking at making.
I should also mention, one of the reasons we never really paired Grand Hammers and Hallowed Knights is because Guard of Steel Soul's aura doesn't really play that well with Grand Hammers. The way you typically use Annihilators with Grand Hammers is you drop them in, you kill what you need to kill, and then they just die. And yeah, Giving them a 5+ ward doesn't really do anything, because they're still just going to die just as quick. And all you've done is delivered Gardas to their front door so that he can also die at the same time. And
so here's a bit of an aside here. Has there been much discussion on switching Grand Hammers over to Shield Annihilators and then putting them in that new Hunter's Battalion?
Yes. It seems okay. it's a really long discussion, and I think I'd rather save it for our tier list video that's coming soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, what am I looking at? It is Watch Tower list.
Yeah, do you wanna do this? Because I actually really like this list. And I like Watchtower. I think it's funny.
Go for it,
Jack.
All right, so the next list we have is called Bring It On, Noblars. And it is submitted by one of the members of our Discord, who goes by the handle Watchtower. The name of the list is a reference to the fact that Watchtower is a massive Noblar fan and has a whole truckload of them. And he submitted this list sort of as a way to give the Stormkeep subfaction build strategy a way to engage an army with 250, 300 wounds. And what it consists of is you have your general, who is a Knight Vexillor with the Meteoric Standard. He's equipped with the Mirror Shield and Envoy of the Heavens. And then you have 5 Liberators, 5 Liberators, 10 Flagellates, 5 Liberators, and 10 Skinks taken as an ally. That is in a battle regiment. Then in the Redemption Brotherhood Battalion, you have 10 Skinks taken as an ally, 10 Flagellates, 3 Aether Wings, 3 Aether Rings, 10 Skinks, 10 Flagellates. And then we repeat. We've got the Far Striders, Steelheart Champions, what is that game?
Underworlds.
From the Underworlds Warbands, and then 10 Skinks, 10 Flagellates, 3 Aether Wings, 3 Aether Wings, and then 10 Skinks, 10 Flagellates, 3 Aether Wings, 3 Aether Wings, 6 Griffhounds, and 10 Flagellates. That gives this list a massive 205 wounds with 157 models in 4 drops.
And it's legal.
Good.
We double checked.
It's absolutely legal. It is absolutely legal.
There's 24 units. 1 in 4 can be coalition, which is 6, and 1 in 4 can be allies, which is up to 6 as well. There's a limit of 400 points on allies, and he's skirting in there at 375. The only thing he didn't list is the grand strategy, which I'm assuming would be hold the line, maybe. I can't think of anything else for this.
Yeah, I would do hold the line. Absolutely. And just leave the liberators behind a wall of bodies that you'll just never get through. Because in 5 turns of play, you're not going to delete all this stuff off the table.
It's a lot.
It's so much. I love it so much.
Some people want to play Age of Sigmar, and Watchtower wants to watch people swim around in garbage. that's what playing against this list will feel like, just wading through garbage.
Well, he's a big old Warhammer Fantasy battle player like I am, and so he is used to a game of Age of Warhammer taking like 6 hours to play.
I'm not saying the list is bad when I say garbage. I mean, just like, these are all trash, like, units. Like, they're not doing anything.
No, and it's literally ablative wounds. You just have wave after wave after wave of units that you have to kill to get off of the objectives. As far as like the strategy goes, though, like the one thing this list is not going to do well is push enemies off of objectives. So if they screen you off of the objectives so you can't use these bodies to gain control of them, you're really, really going to struggle because none of these units are going to kill much.
I'm also surprised he went for the meteoric banner. That's the one that drops a meteor, and rather than the one that lets you teleport a unit, which could have been useful if you're launching, you know, 5 liberators forward, you claim an objective early on. That's interesting because this is a Stormkeep list, so you can't go Scions.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that scene from The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob steps on a rake and then takes like 2 steps and steps on another rake. That's what this list is.
All right.
But I love it. This won our community contest. I'm glad that this list was submitted because I like unorthodox things. I don't like the idea that there is a correct way to play the game. You know, we're doing this whole video because everybody, partly because of us, but everybody thinks Scions is the best and that there's no reason to play Stormkeep. And there's that, you know, that's not wrong. It's not a wrong opinion. There's fewer reasons to play Stormkeep, but it's worth examining this stuff. There's no reason for us to have an orthodoxy when it comes to how to play Stormcast. Everything is worth examining, especially after seeing how much the game is changing with General's Handbook 2022. Everything should be on the table. You never know when they're going to introduce some wacky rule that quadruples the damage of Vanquishers, which were our worst unit, and now they're looking pretty good. So showcasing the Redemption Brotherhood Battalion, which barely ever gets, and nobody ever sees this, showcasing that Stormkeep can bring all these allies and coalition units, I think that's really cool. Showcasing the sheer number of bodies you can put on a table with this army, you never would have thought you'd reach 200 wounds in a Stormcast list. But there it is.
Yeah, that's the one thing I do want to mention about Watchtower in our Discord, is that he's quite often making it vocal that people do generally have this one shot mind when it comes to building lists with Stormcast. Whereas he often reminds us that we have a whole lot of different tools that we can use. And this is a showcase of that right now.
Yep.
So kudos to you, buddy.
Yeah, this is cool. Please keep doing wacky stuff. Don't stay weird.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Weird. I love it. I love it.
Next up here, we've got a list submitted from our community Discord. This was a second or third place. I think we had like a bunch of lists tied for third. So let's just call it second place. This was submitted by Thundergore, who's been visiting our server for a while. He put out a list with a Lord Celestian and Stardrake General with Master Menagerie, which gives him -1 to be wounded by melee attacks. It has a mirror shield, so it can't be shot unless you're within 12 inches. Or is it 9 inches? Unless you're within 9. And then Light of the Young Stars, which is a replacement for your Monstrous Rampage that allows you to give an enemy unit -1 hit instead of the other effects. It has another Lord Celestian on Stardrake, this one running an Arcane Tome with Thundershock, which gives enemies a -1 to wound rolls. And this one will also benefit from Master of Celestial Menagerie as long as the other general is alive. Then it's got 2 Knight Judicators, another Knight Judicator, and a bunch of Redeemer units, some Liberators and Vindictors. He has listed a bunch of different grand strategies, so I'm not sure which one he ended up going with. If I had to guess, I'd say Beastmaster probably makes the most sense since you have these 2 durable Stardrake units. For the Triumph, they went for Inspired to give yourself +1 to wound, which makes sense because you don't have Celestial Blades in this list, so everything's going to be wounding on a 3+. And we went for the extra artifact from your Warlord Battalion, which makes sense. You have Lord Celestial and Stardrake. They're not efficient damage dealers, so you want to give them as much value as possible, and extra artifacts are a way to do that. And for Holy Commands, they picked Call for Aid, which is good because your Liberators will die, and this will give you a chance to resurrect them. So,
why didn't we title this Double Dragon? Because I have used that name for lists every time I've done a Double Stardrake list.
This is the list as it was submitted.
Title.
I have made no alteration, so it is the untitled list.
Untitled number six,
yeah. It's pretty cool. I liked showing off Double Dragons. You know, people were experimenting with Star Drakes a lot earlier in 3rd edition when our book first came out because they were always a niche piece in 2nd edition, and it looked like 3rd edition improved them and also gave you lots of reasons to run monsters. And it seems like Star Drakes just never quite got there. They never got over the top and made it into the mainstream Stormcast list. But I've always liked them. I think maybe the reason with you don't see a lot of Star Drakes is because of the errata to Master of Celestial Menagerie. Because it doesn't work on Storm Drakes, you don't see people taking that command trait. And the Star Drake was the best one to take that command trait. I guess the Nitroconus could have been used too, but Star Drake definitely would have been a contender for that. But since it doesn't work on Storm Drakes, you end up spending, 500 or 1,000 points on these big behemoths, and yeah, they have -1 to be wounded, but they can still be killed, and they don't do a lot of damage, so it's tough to see them in lists, and I think the Knight Judicators here work pretty well with that, because look at how much Ren 3 shooting is in this list. You've got
It's 14 30-inch Ren 3 2 damage shots. 14.
The Judicators are 3 damage apiece, even.
Are they... I thought the... Are they really?
Yep. They do 6 damage per turn.
Ren 3, 3 damage, yep.
So that's 8 Ren 3, 2 damage, and 6 Ren 3, 3 damage.
It's going to delete something. Every shooting phase, it's going to delete something. Combat, it's going to struggle. Lord Celestian on Stardrake is not a punchy monster. Like, it does okay, but for its points, it's not doing great. So this is going to get bogged down with melee, and that's pretty much how it's going to go. But it's going to have a lot of fun sniping things off the board with those breath attacks combined with the Judicator shooting. It does have a bunch of Griffhounds that it's going to spawn. You'll notice here there's 3 Judicators, which means you're going to get 3 squads of 2 Griffhounds. So those are 3 independent units that can go around. They can screen for you. They can use their warning cry for the Judicators. And also the Celestian on Stardrake can use the warning cry as well. So if somebody sets up near the Stardrake, you can just breathe on it, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of interesting stuff here, and I'm not sure why it went Stormkeep. That's kind of one of the downsides here, is that it looks cool, but why is it Stormkeep?
Because he wanted to submit the list, and the requirement was it had to be a Stormkeep list. Well, because you're absolutely right. This list totally works as a Scions list instead of Stormkeep. I think that you do get a little bit of benefit from the fact that the Redeemers are going to count as 3 models. You don't have a lot of objective capture power with this list.
Right, but this isn't the kind of list that's going to fight for the number of models on an objective. You're not going to be able to fit more than a Stardrake on an objective. Usually, it's really difficult to get the Liberators up there with the Stardrake so that they do count as those models. It does have Call for Aid, which does work with the Stormkeep's ability to count as 3 models. And especially if your Star Drakes are resilient, you could, you know, have some Liberators die early on in the game and then just resurrect them somewhere forwards. So it's kind of like the worst translocate ever. It costs a command point, it requires dying, you can have no control over it, but it is some mobility that you can give them. But it's cool. I really hope people don't give up on Star Drakes. I think they have a lot going for them, especially the plus one casting aura, I think, is going to be more relevant than ever in General's Handbook 2022. So, cool list, Thundergore. Congratulations on making the top three, let's call it. Because there was a lot of people tied for third.
Okay, so we got another entitled list submitted by Colic from the Discord. Hollow Knight Stormkeep. We've got three battalions, Warlord, Hunters, Redemption Brotherhood. So to start in the Warlord, we've got Lord Relictor, our standard general with High Priest. He's taken an Arcane Tome with Thundershock and Translocation for his prayer. Knight Vexler with Stormbringer. Guard of Steel Soul and 15 Judicators with Boltstorm Crossbows. Hunters of Heartland Battalion, we've got two squads of Liberators and a Stormstrike Chariot. And in our Redemption Brotherhood, we've got three more Stormstrike Chariots, so looks like we're leaning in heavy on Chariots here. Grand Strategy, hold the line. We've taken Thunderbolt Volley and Call for Aid as our extra enhancements.
Do you guys recognize this list concept? Do you know what is happening here? It's the double-double.
It's the double-double. Yeah, it's the teleport the Judicators up, they shoot something in range, use the Vexilar to move them somewhere else, and then you've got four Chariots to run up the board and smack someone in the face. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And I'm a big fan of that combo, using a Lord Relictor to transport your Boltstorm Crossbows forward, and then they shoot, they kill a bunch of screens, your melee units can push in further, and then you drop in, typically you drop in the Vexilar with Scions wherever you've teleported, and that's kind of where this list falls apart, right? Because this works much better with Scions. I don't even know if it does work with Stormkeep, because the Knight Vexilar requires being within a certain range of those crossbows, and it might just not be there because of how far up you have to translocate. I really like Stormstrike Chariots, but I feel like in this particular list with the Stormkeep, they're not going to be fast enough in order to get ahead of the Boltstorm Crossbows. And what that's going to cause is a lot of situations where this combo doesn't go off on turn one, and instead it's going to go off on turn two or turn three. And by then, you'll probably have lost a lot of Judicators. Now, you have Guard of Steel Soul in here to help manage that, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think a lot of other shooting lists are going to just take this off the board before it has a chance to pop off. I love this combo, but this combo needs Scions of the Storm for sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people voted for this because it's got four Chariots, and I freaking love Chariots. I think I actually voted for this one myself because I like Chariots, man.
I believe the Redemption Brotherhood does have more slots, so you could very easily play this in season one of GHB 22 by just swapping that Stormstrike Chariot out and giving those Liberators a different core battalion.
Yeah. Let's talk about how this would translate into the new. Well, let's call it a new edition, because that's basically what it is. It feels so different. The Stormstrike Chariots could fit into a Hunter Battalion, and all of them would get plus one damage against infantry, which is a ton of damage. Stormstrike Chariots are doing quite a bit against infantry now, which feels good. Otherwise, you've got your Conqueror's Battalion set up here with your Judicators and your two squads of Liberators, so that they can count as extra models on objectives, which is still useful with the Vexilar teleporting them forward. So you could translocate the Boltstorm Crossbows forward, and then you can also use your Stormbringer to teleport your Liberators onto an objective, and they count as 15 models, and they are veterans, so they can contest Proving Grounds as well. So this actually, yeah, this looks
that's
better.
What I was going to say.
This looks better in the new season, I think.
I agree. I think that the changes that I would make, I would probably put one of the Chariots in Warlord, move the Judicators and the Liberators to the Expert Conquerors, put the other Chariots in Bounty Hunters, and I would actually swap out Call for Aid for Steadfast March, so that you can get a Chariot further up the board if you need to pin something down for a turn, and or engage a shooting unit like a shark or whatever.
But Jack, if you use Steadfast March, you give up the chariot's powerful shooting attack.
No one takes the bows, bro. Yeah. The other thing that's really cool, though, is that this list works really, really well in the new meta, because if you end up going first and your opponent picks an objective on the other side of the board, that Knight Vexillar can just move that unit. So you don't, if you don't use it to like bounce the adjudicators back and forth, you've got the Relictor to translocate, and you've got the Knight Vexillar to move somewhere else if you need to. So you can like translocate to one side of the board, tag the Proving Grounds, and then now that unit is not within range of translocation. So the next turn, the Knight Vexillar can move them to the next Proving Grounds. This is really cool.
Well, potentially the same turn, because if you Thunderbolt Volley in the hero phase and clear it out, then in the movement phase, you can translocate, you can Stormbringer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a cool combo. I think that is
Could go park those guys on the park those 15 adjudicators on the Proving Grounds and be like, hey, all right, cool, man. I'm here. Come get it. I'm going to unleash hell and shoot you with all these crossbows.
It still feels better in Scions because you just drop the Liberators into play. You don't have to spend points. It's okay. And the last one here, I wanted to showcase this one because it's got a lot of units that you guys, I don't know if you guys have heard of these units before, but we'll take a look at them. We'll tell you what they do. It's called Make Sacrosanct Great Again by Rills, and it is a Hammers of Sigmar Stormkeep list. It's got four battalions, which is unusual. People typically run, you know, two to three. This one's got a Command Entourage battalion with a Lord Relictor General. You've got your pretty standard loadout at this point. High Priest, Mirror Shield, Translocation. High Priest rerolling the Translocation chant, Mirror Shield protecting you from shooting. It has a Lord Arcanum on Dracoline. And you guys maybe have never seen this model on the table, but it is a hero version of the Evocators on Dracoline. It's another rare model that doesn't see a lot of play. Is this joke landing? Am I... All right. I'll stop. It's got Scintillating Trail as a mount trait, which reduces your the enemy unbind rolls on your wizards. And when you've got a Lord Arcanum, a Knight Encantor, and then two units of Dracolines, you're casting four spells per turn. You could actually make a difference with that minus one to unbind. The core of the list is it's just trying to cram as many sacrosanct units into a list as possible. So you've got two squads of three Evocators on Dracolines and a Hunter's Battalion, so they can't be hit by Rampages. And then it's got two Soulstrike Brotherhoods, which, if I remember correctly, the Soulstrike Brotherhood gives you a free all-out attack with one of those units.
It works the same way as the Grand Battery. It's the same exact rule. So it's a free all-out attack or free Unleash Hell.
Right. So in these battalions, he's got one Ballista in each one. One of them has 10 Sequiturs, the other one has 5 Sequiturs, and then a unit of 6 Castigators. This is a good opportunity to talk about these units because we never feature these in lists because there's just more efficient and better units, but I like these units and I've got a whole bunch of them painted, so I want to find reasons to use them.
And absolutely.
I want to mention the Evocators and Dracolines combo really well with Castigators and Sequiturs, because the Evocators and Dracolines have a spell called Empower, which can be used on any Sacrosanct or any Redeemer unit. And people forget that it can be used on any Redeemer unit. So if this list, for example, didn't have Sequiturs, if it had Vanquishers or Liberators or Vindictors, you could actually be giving them plus one to wound, which is pretty useful. The six Castigators also are able to benefit from that Empower because it doesn't specify it has to be melee attacks. So you could have those six Castigators shooting on twos and twos at rent two, dealing D3 yep. damage apiece. So that's...
Yeah, it's good.
It's a very efficient shooting unit. It doesn't have the most damage output. Like you can see here, it's got Holy Command Thunderbolt Volley, but that's not going to be the best Thunderbolt Volley you can get. Six Castigators are not the best target. They only have 18-inch shooting range, and they only have D3 shots per model. They can't be double reinforced like Judicators, so they're just a bit lacking in comparison to that, and that's probably why you don't see a lot of them, but they can be very accurate, which is very cool. They're also on Ren 2 compared to Judicators, typically shooting on Ren 0 or Ren 1, so that's a nice little niche as well.
Well, I also really dig the fact that the Castigators are they're dirt cheap, so it's like 105 points for three. So a reinforced unit of six is only 210 points, which is real cheap. That's what a 5-man unit of Judicators costs, roughly.
That's right, yep. Yeah. So Castigators actually end up being very efficient shooting if you can give them a power. But the problem with that is that Evocators on foot are not really cost-effective right now, and Evocators on Dracolians are kind of outshined by Fulminators and other cavalry. Like, Stormcast have a lot of choices. So if the only differences between units are efficiency, there's going to be some that rise to the top and others that get left behind. And it seems like with the past season, Evocators and Dracolians got left behind. But I am happy to say I think they're going to make a comeback in the new season. They giving that unit plus one damage is pretty big, especially on the swords. Going from 1 to 2 damage is a big scaling increase. It's a bigger, like, they get more out of that battalion as a percentage than, say, Fulminators going from 3 to 4 damage. That's only a 33% increase. Dracolines scaling at 100%. You can actually start to see some good numbers from Dracolines. I think they might be worth using in the new season.
Yeah. My personal opinion on this is that the only thing that's keeping Sacrosanct from being really, really competitive is just their points. If they were more appropriately pointed for what they did, they would be absolutely awesome. Just fantastic.
I'd agree. Sequiturs, the only reason we don't see Sequiturs in play is because Vindictors and Liberators did it better, and I think in the new season, Vanquishers are going to do it better. That's still going to be the case unless they get a drastic point change by the time I upload this video, which could happen. Ballistas are inefficient at 140 points apiece. They're just not keeping up with the other shooting units that we have. The Evocators and Dracolines are not efficient compared to other cavalry that they have. It's like everything Sacrosanct does, they're paying a weird tax, and I can't figure out why. Is it like because they can unbind? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Probably. I think we've GW has demonstrated that they believe the ability to cast spells and unbind spells is very, very valuable. And if our Sacrosanct units worked like all of the other units that are wizards and got to pick spells and cast other things, then that would be true. But because our units that are casters are restricted to only being able to cast their War Scroll spell, it decreases that value. Absolutely.
Here's a pop quiz. What do you guys know what that grand strategy is? Pillars of Victory?
I do, but only because I had to go look it up to figure it out.
What's it do, Jack?
Pillars of Victory is the one that says at the end of the battle, you complete this grand strategy if the only battle line units left on the table are Redeemers.
Friendly Redeemers, in particular.
Friendly Redeemers, yeah.
So that's a really bad
trick. It's worse than Hold the Line, because you have to have your battle line units, which are Redeemers, and you have to kill all of the enemy battle line.
Yeah, it's also worse than the new battle tactics we've seen in General's Handbook 2022, which is kill all the enemy battle lines. So this is just, this is just really bad. But I wanted to showcase it because it's something we never see in Stormcast lists. Like, we don't see these picks, and some, you know, shouldn't be a reason you just never talk about something. Everything should be discussed. Once in a while, it's okay to bring up something and be like, oh yeah, that's why we don't use it.
There's nothing wrong with the sort of off-meta lists. Like, this list is totally functional and would be great in a less hyper-competitive environment.
This would be a great list to... I would play a list like this if I was trying to show somebody the game and get them interested in playing 2,000-point match play. I'd say, hey, okay, I've got some heroes, I've got some shooting, I've got some melee, I've got some cavalry, I've got some artillery. I'm going to show you everything that the game can do strategically, all in one list. And I think this is the kind of thing I would throw at somebody.
Yeah, because, you can use all the commands. This list participates in every phase. And everything is decent. There's a lot of synergy in the list, so you can really show people how to combo War Scroll abilities, spells, stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that wraps up our little jaunt into the Stormkeep. A bit of a shorter video this time because, as we mentioned at the start of the video, the General's Handbook came out and has just obliterated all this information. Everything here is completely out of date, so don't try to use these lists if you're trying to play in the 2022 General's Handbook season. But it was an interesting thought experiment. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. If you guys think there's some cool combos with the Stormkeep that we missed, really like niche stuff, let us know, because I love digging into that stuff. I really like weird niche combos. So let us know in the comments down below.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll catch you guys later.
Take care, everybody.
Yep, see you in the next one.